Please sit down. Evening, everybody. I think most of you know that we're going to be in the evenings answering questions that have been put in that box at the back. If you have burning theological questions, things you want to know about the Bible or God or salvation, if you put your questions in the back of the box, and if I sort of know how to deal with them, I'll make them into sermons. And I've been given a rather interesting one tonight concerning the Reformation. Remember, I'm running a week late. I wasn't here last week. But in the light of what was said the week before, remember we had the visiting speaker? Well, I got a question in the light of that that I think is a very important question, and I'd like to answer it. But the text I'm going to base my message on will be found in Colossians. Colossians 2, 9 and 10. Very, very well known statements. Very well known passage. Colossians 2, verse 9. For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. And you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. I don't know how that works, but everything that's God was crammed into Jesus, the man. And you, Christian, have been given fullness in Christ. What fullness? The fullness of the deity, of course, who is the head over every power and authority. What a statement, and yet how sadly misunderstood. Can we just pray together? Please help me tonight, Lord, to speak clearly and faithfully. Give your children discernment. Oh, Lord, may they judge the spirits aright tonight, and help me, Lord, to speak. Lord, in my frailty, may your power be manifested for Christ's sake. Amen. Okay, I've been asked a very good question by somebody, and I want to preach a sermon in answer to that question. And the question is this. Martin Luther, we're told that he discovered something in the Bible that woke him up and set him free from the bondage of the Roman Catholic teaching. What was it exactly that Martin Luther discovered that switched on the light? What was this amazing truth that Luther found in the Bible that set off the whole Reformation of the Protestant Church? What was it? Basically, it was this. Luther discovered in the book of Romans that Christian salvation is all about faith. Faith from first to last. He read in Romans 1:17, the righteous shall live by faith. And the light went on and he said, that's it, faith. Faith and faith alone saves. He came up with the slogan, sola fide, it's faith alone. Now most of you will probably know this, but not many people seem to know why faith set him free. I mean, what is it about faith that made Luther wake up to the gospel? What made him realize in faith is the key to liberation from false doctrines? What was it? Because the Roman Catholics also believe in faith. It was this. Luther discovered saving faith is only possible if you believe equally in grace. Faith and grace are like two sides of the same coin. You cannot have saving Christian faith unless you believe in Christian grace. The two are inseparable, and he put it this way. sola fide, sola gratia. Grace and faith are combined into the same coin, and there's no faith without grace. Faith is only possible. I'll make it simple. What do I mean by that? Faith is only possible if you believe that, listen, God has done it all for you. Finished. And I'll say it again. This was Luther's discovery. This is what set the Protestant church free. Faith happens when I believe that God has done it all for me, absolutely everything. Faith and grace are inseparable, and the whole Reformation hung on that one little thing. If any of you are scholars and want to go further into what I'm doing now, write this down. Luther wrote a book. He said if all his books were to be burned, the only book he'd like to keep for history is the one I'm going to give you now. That's what he said. He called it The Bondage of the Will. The Bondage of the Will. And there's a good translation by J.I. Packer. And in this book he explains what I'm going to try and tell you now. But this is what Luther discovered. You cannot have faith, saving faith, unless you believe in grace. Now you may say, well, why is that such a big issue? Why should this be considered the key to the Reformation truth? I mean, don't the Roman Catholics also believe in grace and faith? Well, of course they talk about it, but they don't believe in it the way the Bible teaches it. Luther discovered something essential about saving faith. Something that the church had forgotten. So let me explain. All churches would agree, even the Roman Catholic Church would agree, that we are only saved if we repent and believe the gospel. They also say that. They say faith in the gospel of Christ is essential to salvation. Yes, it's true. Faith alone saves. Everyone agrees there. But now, this is the vital truth that Martin Luther discovered. Try and get it. I hope I'm not being subtle. I'll try and make it as clear as possible. When you say you have faith in the gospel, all right? Is your faith in the gospel about what God is doing, or is it about what God has done? That's vital. Is your faith in the gospel about what God wants to achieve, or is it about what he's already achieved, completed, finalized, finished? Is the gospel something that's still in the process of being completed, or are we now already finished and complete? What do you believe? You know that God loves you. You know that Jesus died to save you. But is your salvation in the process of being completed? Or is it now complete? This is what divides true from false religion. The Roman Catholic Church, and for a short time I belonged to this church, the Roman Catholic Church teaches that God sent his Son, and his Son died on the cross to save souls. Yes, he rose from the dead, he ascended to glory, he started out the process of salvation. But get this, the Catholic Church believe Jesus started salvation, but the church has to finish the job. Jesus started it. He died. He rose. He ascended. But now we've got to get on with it and make it complete. Jesus is in heaven. He's done his part. But the work of the church is now involved in the saving of souls. Jesus called people to be saved, but listen, Jesus may have died on the cross for people's salvation. They believe Jesus died for everyone in the whole world. But not everyone is going to benefit from that death, because only those who take that death, apply it to their lives, and use it to their benefit will be saved. The Roman Catholic Church taught that Jesus may have started the work of salvation, but it's our job to finish it. Does that make sense? That's what they teach even to this day. Jesus has initiated the work of salvation, but the church has to now get out there, change society, change the world, work out our own salvation. We've got to finish the job. And this is what Martin Luther discovered to be the false gospel. He discovered the real gospel is something complete, something already finished. All true Christians, we read in our text, have already been given fullness in Christ. It's holoklerosis in Christo. We've been given completeness in Christ. And unless we believe that, unless we believe we are, even now, as good as in heaven and completely saved, as religious as you may be, you cannot be saved by gospel faith. You cannot be saved by faith if you think you are still working out the salvation for yourself. Why? Why must faith believe in the completed work of grace? I'll tell you why. What is faith? What does it say in Hebrews 11? What is faith? It's a confidence, a certainty about things we do not yet see. A certainty. To have faith, you have to believe in something that's certain. Faith based upon certainty, completeness, finishedness. Faith doesn't hope something might happen. Faith knows that something is. If something that we're told about is not yet finished, if something we're told is not yet complete, if it's still in the process of being done, then how can you put your faith in it? You may say, I hope so, but you cannot say if something's not complete, I know so. And to have faith, you have to know that you know that you know. There's no faith possible if something is not completed. I'll give you a silly example. I saw Sam wandering around out there. Imagine if Manchester United and Arsenal were going to play next Saturday. And they are equally tipped to win the match. They're equally matched, and the punters are saying, you know, it's either way. They're both good. Now, you cannot say that I have faith that Man United's going to win. It's impossible, because the match has not yet happened. It could go either way. It's up for grabs what happens. So I might say I hope they're going to win. I'm pretty sure they're going to win, but faith in an incompleted event is impossible. You cannot put your faith in something that's not completed. This is what Martin Luther realized. Faith can only be placed in something that's absolutely certain, finished, tied up, done and dusted. And unless you believe in something that's guaranteed finished, you do not have faith. Do you realize how important this is? This is what Martin Luther realized. Faith is a confidence in something certain, completed, and finished. And the more he read the New Testament, the more he discovered that the gospel is finished, achieved, and complete. Think about it. When Jesus died on the cross, what were his last words? Tetelestai, which means, it is finished. We're told in the book of Hebrews that there's no need for priests and sacrifices anymore. Why? Because Christ died ephapax. Ephapax means once for all. In other words, his death has done it. It's completed everything it was meant to do. Because Christ died once for all, we can now say, I have faith in that certainty. What we could not do for ourselves, the Bible says God has done for us. He died in our place. He rose in our humanity. And he sits at the right hand of God as our brother, pleading for us in a high priestly role. It's finished. This is what Martin Luther realized. Paul tells us in our text, in Christ, all the fullness of the Godhead, all of it, has been given to us. Past perfect tense. It doesn't say will be given to us if we're good boys and girls, does it? It says it's already been given to us, the fullness. And it says we are complete in him, according to the King James Version. We're complete. There's nothing to be added to it. What Luther realized was that unless I really believe this to be true, this is the scary part, I can't have saving faith. You can't put your faith in something that's uncertain. Faith must be in an unmovable certainty. And Luther argued that we must hold to grace and grace alone. There is nothing we could have done, nothing that we can do, nothing that we can ever do to ever earn the salvation that Christ purchased for us. He did it for us, in us, and he's doing it through us even now. Unless we believe that, Luther said, unless we believe it's all done, it's all finished, we don't have saving faith. If you're trying to complete the job that Jesus started, well, you haven't got faith, you're living by works. This was the root of his whole argument about faith. It must be based on grace. There can be no faith unless I believe it's of grace. Now you may say, okay, well, let's be practical now. How can I be sure that how can I be so certain of this? How can I believe that this applies to me? Do you have confidence that this word is unbreakably true? Do you believe this book? Jesus promised something amazing there, and it can't be broken. He said, whosoever comes to me, I will in no ways cast out. If you have come to Jesus in simple faith and said, Lord, I'm clinging to that cross. That's all I'm doing. I'm doing nothing else but believing in what you've done already. You will be his. That's his promise. God, the Bible says, knows everybody that is his. In fact, Jesus puts it this way. He says, I lay down my life for my sheep, and I know my sheep. He knows every single person he's died for. And he goes on to say, and even those sheep who are mine, who are yet to come into the fold. So even people that may not be Christians, he knows who they are that's going to be saved. Because everything according to God is known and complete and perfected now. If it's not, you can't put your faith in it. Do you know that God has an elect body of people loved from the foundation of the world? He's always known his people. He has a book in heaven, the Lamb's Book of Life. And in that book is every name of every single person that will ever come to him in faith. It's all known already by him, and Christ has already paid the full price for their atonement. There are no loose ends with God. There are no half-done jobs or no jobs that are still in the pipeline. It's all completed in him. There's no maybe. There's no perhaps. There's no "I hope so." God, we are told in 2 Timothy, knows, he already knows all those who are his. Jesus knows those whom he died for, and nothing is yet uncertain. All is absolutely certain to God. Now you may still be thinking, well, why does all this matter? Isn't this just splitting hairs? If you're thinking that right now, then you haven't heard what I said, or maybe I didn't bring it across clearly. Martin Luther insisted that unless you believe in a completed, predestined, certain gospel that's done and dusted and tied up and over and done, then you can't have faith. Because faith is the certainty of that which is certain. And if you believe like the Roman Catholics, well, yes, he started the job, but it's still up for grabs what's going to happen, then you haven't got an idea of what Christian faith is. This was the argument of the Reformation, and this is why Reformed churches to this day tend to stress grace and God's sovereignty in salvation. Why? Because these are the foundations of our faith. When I first became a Christian, I was involved in the Roman Catholic Church, and I had some crazy ideas about becoming a monk. And, anyway, there was one time when I went to an evangelistic service, and I was really blessed by what the preacher said, and I went forward. You know, they used to have altar calls, and I went forward and said a little prayer, and I was so excited. I went back to my priest. I was green as grass. I thought everyone believed the same thing. And I said, "Father, guess what? I'm born again. I'm a Christian. I'm going to heaven now. I'm saved." This is a fellow called Father O'Neill, a real Irishman. You've got your perfect character of an Irishman. And he went, "Oh, no, my boy." He said, "Don't get carried away. What have they told you now?" Shook his head. And he said, "Listen, you've got the cart before the horse." He said, "Yes, Jesus died for us. But that's just the start. Now you've got a long way to work. You can't say you're saved. How can you say that? You're not in heaven yet. You can pray to be saved. You can strive to be saved. But you've got to now get on with the job and make it happen. It's in your hands." Well, praise God, I didn't stay there. And I've come to realize that that attitude that Father O'Neill had is even alive in some of our churches who are evangelical. We need to preach the finished work of Christ, because the finished work of Christ is the power and the ground of our faith. There are no loose ends to be tied up. There are no what ifs. Jesus has done it, and all those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life will come. They will be saved. And there will be victory. It's as certain as God is true. So my challenge as I close is this. Do you have tonight Christian saving faith? The faith of Martin Luther. If you do, then you will believe in grace. Grace alone. Because faith can only rest on that which is unmovable, complete, and certain. Jesus died, and everyone he died for is saved. There's no maybes, there's no little gray areas. It's either complete, as the Bible says, or we're in a heap of trouble. Let's just pray. Oh, Father, I just pray that this message was understood and understood properly. I pray, Lord, that your word will be the final communicator. But I do pray, Lord, we will keep this wonderful, essential truth that was started at the Reformation burning in our churches. We have been given fullness in Christ. And Lord, there can be no faith without that fullness. Please, may we stand on it in Jesus' name. Amen. Right.